Good afternoon, and go Giants. I have no disclosures or conflicts to report, and let's see. A little background, a few things, key points. I think we all know that about 1 in 5 Americans are unaware of their HIV status, and thus a greater likelihood of transmitting the virus. I think we know that it's important to identify these those undiagnosed and link them to ART therapy, and because it can reduce HIV transmission as well as improve the health outcomes of these individuals. We also know that the CDC, the IOM report, and National HIV/AIDS Strategy have all supported the development of innovative initiatives that expand HIV screening and linkage to care. These programs are needed. And we also know that potentially testing in non-clinical settings might be another door or avenue that we can use to identify these individuals, which is part of the rationale for the Bridge Project. The Bridge Project had some aims, and some of the main points here were to develop a community public and private partnership, to use HIV surveillance data and census tract data to kind of identify high-risk neighborhoods, community neighborhoods that we could target, to select a good site in which to offer, a non-clinical site in which to offer HIV screening and linkage to care services. We also wanted to do a small little marketing campaign and, of course, offer the HIV linkage to care testing and services and, of course, evaluate the impact. And that's what we're going to talk about, and I'll kind of tell the story as the lead evaluator. The structure of the project, the AIDS Foundation of Chicago, where I work, it was the lead organization that kind of coordinated the partnership model. Brothers Health Collective, Making a Daily Effort, and Beyond Care were the testing partners at very small grassroots organizations that did the HIV testing and linkage to care services. The Illinois Department of Human Services, the public aid offices were the sites that we ultimately selected. And Gilead Health Sciences was the funder of the project through a larger initiative called HIV Focus. The structure in terms of the staffing, there was one part-time coordinator. Each of the three sites had site supervisors. There was a 1 to 2 testers that worked a couple days at each of the three public aid offices, part-time evaluator, and a part-time data manager. So how did we come up with, or what was kind of our thinking about developing the program? You know, we had some kind of underlying assumptions, or what we really thought is that if we identify these high-risk neighborhoods, we increase our chances of a higher seropositivity rate. So we went and met with the Chicago Department of Public Health. They have their community health needs assessments where they track all the HIV prevalence rates data, the STD data, poverty rates, and we looked at that information and we zeroed in on what we called 3 target zones in the south side of Chicago where the prevalence rates were very high. These 3 target zones aligned with 9 zip code areas, which we also collected the zip code. And so we said, okay, those are going to be our 3 target zones. We are going to pick a non-clinical setting in each one of these target zones to offer the screening and linkage to care services. Again, with the non-clinical settings, one of our assumptions were, well, let's not go to a healthcare facility. Let's try another door and see if that yields some success. So what we did was we conducted a little, we didn't necessarily on the onset pick the public aid offices. We brought together the partner agencies, we brainstormed some ideas, and came up with actually 9 potential venues. Church's Fried Chicken, the Save-A-Lot, the L-Stop, a lot of creative ideas, and then we actually had the testers go at each of these sites and survey people saying, if we were to develop a testing, office testing, would you get tested here? And there was varying levels of response, and like, for example, the L-Stop was just a terrible idea because people were in a rush. We weren't going to get the target population, even though the L-Stop was at the target population. The churches was variable, but so there were strengths and weaknesses, but we finally settled in on the public aid offices because we knew that the targeted people in the neighborhood who would be accessing services there. So we began building relationships with the site administrators at each site, which was very critical to the success. We went and looked at the venues, tried to find out how it looked, how we're going to do privacy, and all these important issues that we had to do around implementation. And then we did some pilot testing. In addition to that, we did a small little market campaign, and I'll have these in the front if anybody wants to see it. It's called Say Yes to the Test. It's basically has the information about the testing, the addresses, and a little text message where if you type in the number, it'll say where the sites are, so if you wanted to get tested. We didn't do a formal evaluation of that component, but it was good to have these palm cards around the agents, the public aid offices. Upon implementation, so we're in a new environment, we're trying to understand how these work, so of course we want to not just look at the structure, but also look at the processes. So we broke down the screening and linkage to care processes into three components. I'm not going to go over the specific ones, but we found it very helpful to map out the process, particularly in a new setting, offering new services, and each process takes a little bit of time, and it just helped for quality control management. So I'm going to talk about what we found, some of our kind of process outcome findings from this. We'll talk about how much services were provided, what did the client characteristics look like, what our seropositivity rate is, a little demographics about the clients that were HIV positive, our linkage to care rates, and a little bit of zip code and refusal data. So from May 2011 through September 2012, we were able to screen 6,720 people, screenings administered. The three zones were there, the testing sites, so we had a total of 330 testing days and averaged about 20 screenings or tests a day. So it was pretty good in terms of that. The demographics of who we tested, not surprisingly, at public aid offices, you're going to get more women. The settings, the neighborhoods were predominantly African American, so we got predominantly African American women. The average age was 34. I think the encouraging or the promising finding was that 45% of those self-reported being first-time testers. So they had never been tested. So part of one of the things we were excited about was, wow, we maybe are reaching people who are new and may not be accessing testing services. Of previous testers, 47 reported having not been tested within the last year. So our seropositivity rate through that period turned out is 0.57. Percent, and early on we had a little higher rate, but over time it seems it's leveled off to about 0.57, and I'm thinking it may stabilize that. So it's not a bad rate. We had a hope for a little bit higher rate, but it's looking like that's going to be around that range. In terms of the people who tested positive, 38 individuals screened positive. 35 of them were African American, 24 males, 11 females, 2 Hispanics and a females and 1 Hispanic male. We were able to conduct confirmatory HIV tests. We used the OraSure and the OraQuick for the confirmatory on 63%. 10 of those reported being first-time testers or new positives. 7 reported testing negative in the past. 3 reported previous HIV positive tests. And we had missing data on 3 individuals. Our linkage to care rate was not as high as we had liked. I think we had a lot of lessons learned in going into a new setting. It was 55.22%. Zip code data, just briefly, we did the majority of people who were tested, screened, and tested positive were in residing in the targeted neighborhoods that we had selected, about 61% and about 58%, and they were living within the zones. The other ones were in adjacent neighborhoods going on there. We wanted to collect information on refusal data. And how many people refuse? We found that really challenging, and I think this is about doing kind of a project right in the field, is that we found that the testers in each of the three agencies, it was hard to manage, come up with a process that worked uniformly to collect that, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in the lessons learned. But of the refusal data we collected, more women refused than men. The primary reasons for being tested was that they were recently tested, so there were some people in those settings that may have already been tested. 10% didn't perceive risk, and Some had already been screened, and that data is from people who screened early and had come back to the office. There is a qualitative sub-study underway that's looking a little, digging a little deeper into why people refused at that particular setting. Lessons learned. If you're an administrator, your health department, and you're thinking about implementing like testing in public aid offices, a few words of support and caution. It's feasible. You can test in there. We found that it is possible to do the screenings. You can identify potentially some high-risk target groups, and it is potentially a nice alternative to a clinical setting. You need to really work very closely with the administrators and the frontline staffs, particularly the security guards in those particular areas. You need to find the people who are kind of like the agency gatekeepers in those particular settings. When we did do site visits and talk to people, each agency has a different culture. You can't necessarily get a universal process going because of the layout of the office. In recruitment, one was like an auditorium, so one tester would say, hey, I'm doing HIV testing, anybody want to come? Sometimes that didn't work because of the shame and the stigma, and going one-to-one was sometimes feasible. They were there for other reasons. So there's a lot of process-related activities you really need to dig deep to do. So if you're going to do this, you want to think through the process and map it out. Linkage to care. I think the other point to remember about linkage to care is that there needs to be a nice triage mechanism if you want to link someone to care right away. That wasn't established in these settings. In year two of the project, our linkage to care rates have improved because we had to develop mechanisms. You know, people are coming there for other reasons, but it's an opportunity we want to stay connected. So around this, developing a streamlined process would be important. And the other finding that we found was this can be also a setting for relinkage. There were people who approached them that said, I'm HIV positive, but I'm out of care. And that's an opportunity to find somebody who you can do some education with and potentially link to care. And we found that very encouraging. And we're tracking the number of people relinked to care because of being in that setting. Some limitations. We have limited HIV refusal data. I wish we had better information to share around that component. A lot of this data about being first-time testers is based on self-report. And the new positives, we're working with the city to confirm that the people who said they're first-time positives, that we can go back and get the city surveillance data to verify that. We're in process, but that is a limitation. In conclusion, I would say that this is a promising model that has the potential to reach previously undiagnosed HIV positive individuals. This can increase access for those who are not accessing routine HIV care, and that you should really take into consideration how you're going to link people after you test them if you really want to do that. And I want to acknowledge my co-authors, our funders, and our partner agencies, and some of the staff that made this project come underway. Thank you.